Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Fagan. Going to be doing a solo show today because Anthony is still, Anthony is still, you know, taking his sweet time recovering from the baby that he didn't even have. And, you know, just again, continuing to disrespect his wife by devaluing her.
You want to talk about disrespect?
You know, I'm just saying, okay, I guess Anthony's back. So, and he heard all of that.
Hey, everybody. I'm back.
Don't listen to the last three intros that Pete and I did. It's fine.
Well, it's funny. I hopped on to Twitter today and I found that we were in a full blown pod feud with the Four Blown Gold pod about all the yes and no and facsimile and making fun of the way Darius speaks. Leave Darius alone, man.
No, see, that was not Pete started that. So it's a little bit of a double agent thing where he, you know, started a feud as in his capacity as a Silver Screen and Roll staff member, started a feud with his pod to try and get, you know, like, because everybody loves like a feud like that. That's how, you know, it's like Biggie Tupac. You sell records that way.
That's why Arby's is so popular. Everybody loves beef.
Yeah. Welcome back.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back. I'm so tired.
I see you brought dad jokes. So
I did.
It's very fitting that you return on that note.
So I got to tell you the story. What we're going to do today for the show, we're going to do that thing we usually do or we used to do all the time where, you know, there would be certain weekends that I would come back and have no idea what just went on over the course of the weekend because, you know, I was doing immature things. This time I was completely stone ass sober for the entire weekend and I still have no idea what went on over the last 5 days. So Harrison's going to catch me up there. Don't do that first thing I said.
Somebody still has pregnancy on the brain.
I got to tell you this story, though, because it's going to crack you up. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so you know how the theme of this offseason for the Lakers, and I promise this has something to do with the Lakers. The theme of this offseason after Kawhi Leonard signed was basically, okay, yeah, it sucks that the Lakers didn't get him, but it was good process to wait that out. Like it was the right move to wait that out and see how things go, right? So long as you have plan Bs and all those things. And I still agree with that to this day. So we go there on Saturday. Saturday morning we had a non-stress test with Jen and her blood pressure was high. And the OBGYN and then the other doctor who was on staff there goes, all right, well, you're already 38 weeks in. You may as well try to have this baby now. Things are only going to get worse, right? Your blood pressure isn't going to start going down at this point. And so we go, okay, sure. And they say, all right, so how would you prefer to have the baby? Would you like to have a natural childbirth or would you prefer a C-section? And, you know, I was of the mind, let's just get this thing over with. But it's not my body, so I didn't voice my opinion. So Jen said she wanted to have a natural childbirth, and then like talking to the doctors, they really convinced me. Okay, yeah, that is the more prudent way to go about this. That's the much safer way. That's the much safer avenue by which to have a child. And you know, we sat there. I think Jen was technically in labor for upwards of like 36 hours. And we weren't making any progress. And eventually the doctor came in and said, hey, you are making enough progress. Your blood pressure is going up. You're starting to hit a fever. The baby Avery's pulse rate is kind of all over the place. I think it's best that we just have the C-section. And Jen was having kind of a hard time with the decision. And I go, see, Jen, it's kind of like the Lakers offseason. And just right there, I knew this was a huge mistake.
Oh, no. Did you actually say that?
Look, man, it was like 1 in the morning, and I was exhausted. And I, like, I didn't even stop. She, like, the look of just dread and honestly remorse. Like, there was remorse on Jen's face. Like, I am going to be stuck to this guy for the rest of my life. And we have a kid now. But she goes,
oh my God.
So I go, see, Jen, it's kind of like the Lakers offseason. I, you know, they would have preferred to have Kawhi, but it was the more prudent move to stick this thing out. Cause she was saying, oh man, like, what was the point of the last 36 hours? It was a complete waste. And I said, look,
you could have had other babies in that time.
she's like, look, it was this giant waste. And I said, no, it wasn't. It was the prudent move. Process matters. And I swear to God, when I said process matters, I thought I was going to be thrown out of the hospital.
Did she slap you, like throw something at you, anything?
She was on the bed. She couldn't really go anywhere, but I was definitely out of arm's reach for a reason. Like, right as soon as I said this is kind of like the Lakers offseason, I legit like started backing away from her because I had an idea that this was not going to end well, and it did not.
Oh my God.
It did not end well.
Oh, dude.
So it was funny. Pete and I were talking, like, you know, the last show that he and I did together, and we were making the comment that, you know, people who are successful at things or, I guess, good at things tend to be unbalanced. I think that's a pretty decent example. Like,
that would imply that you're good at this.
Yeah, so. Right. I'm not claiming to be good at any of this, but at least I'm imbalanced.
Like, you're saying, you're like, oh yeah, I'm a really good talker, but also I just said this to my wife, so.
I swear, I make good decisions all the time, and then that, you know?
Yeah.
That was
I'm glad story. You didn't tell me that story off air so that I could react genuinely, because, my God.
I hope that's one of those things that, like, people laugh at. Hit me up on Twitter if you got, give me your funny pregnancy stories, because it's a fun, not fun, but it's a funny process, the whole thing.
Don't fall for this. He just wants to show them to Jen and be like, look, I'm not the only one who said like, something I'm not dumb. That bad. He's like, it's not that bad. Look at all these worse ones.
I swear, it's not that bad. So yeah, that's what we, but you know, for those who were wondering and have reached out, one, thank you guys a ton. I'll never be able to catch back up to everybody who said congratulations and wished us well. Jen is healthy. Avery is healthy. I am, you know, the closest I'll ever get to healthy. But everybody is good. We actually, I'm here at home. We're recording this at 11 o'clock a.m. We're hoping to be able to have everybody home and move into the house at about 4. So Casa de Irwin will be a little fuller, but we'll at least be in the house again. Yeah. If you can have a natural childbirth, go that route, though, because the process after a C-section isn't great. It is not fun.
I was born by a C-section, so that explains why my mom doesn't like me.
Yeah, same here. Same here. All right, let's take a quick second. When we come back, just a heads up. So Harrison's going to fill me in on what I've missed the last 5 days or so. This is going to be part one of a two-part podcast. The second part is going to release tomorrow at the normal time. And we are going to try to catch up to the mailbag so that come Sunday, Pete and I will be good to go in that respect. So hang tight. We'll come right back. And there's a couple topics that did cross my plate that I am legit interested in. We'll start with the first one. We'll start with the LeBron James, Rich Paul, NCAA thing. So like I said, this literally, you know, I've been, you know, sparingly looking at my phone. When you have to be up every third hour, it's kind of hard to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So I've spent some time just kind of like, you know, kind of looking at what's been going on. And from what I can tell, the NCAA basically made a Rich Paul rule, which LeBron called out by name, right?
I don't know that he called it out by name, but he definitely, like, he first subtweeted it and then he posted Stay Woke. And yeah. It was like a bunch of people criticizing Rich Paul and like saying that like people in the league and people in the NCAA and whatever were afraid of him. And then posting, you know, the new rule and that it was requiring you to, it was like basically something. And like the NCAA actually came out and like somebody, or I think it was somebody with an NBA team or somebody with an NCAA team leaked to Jeff Goodman saying like, oh, people that are saying that this is about Rich Paul are crazy. Like this is about all the other, like,
worse.
No. And then this is how they continued it. They were like, this is about all the other like hangers on and like people who aren't qualified to be agents. Like, let me see. He said, what did he say? He said, the Rich Paul stuff is silliness. This is via Jeff Goodman, you know, like NCAA reporter. And it was from an NBA guy. The Rich Paul stuff is silliness. He reps like one or two guys
so per he's, draft. He's and has saying,
lawyers working for him. They are trying to protect the kids from all these other clowns. You should see the runner workout guy uncle types we get. This isn't about Rich Paul.
Okay, so that's via Jeff Goodman. It's what an NBA person said to Jeff Goodman.
Yeah.
That's not Jeff Goodman's take on the situation.
No. That's an NBA. That's an anonymous NBA person saying that to Jeff Goodman.
But isn't that kind of?
But like also, like the NCAA made this rule. It wasn't the NBA that made this rule. Right. So like, I mean, I get what that person's saying because it does seem kind of crazy that the NCAA would like target just one agent like this. But at the same time, I would not put it past the NCAA to just target one agent like this. Like
well, only one agent has figured out a way to get somebody paid while they're in college. Right?
I think a lot of people kind of figured that.
No. I mean,
the NCAA legally. Might be mad that legally. Rich Paul rep like Darius Bazley and helped him circumvent college and maybe is like, you know, going to try
That's
and help.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I mean. Is that like this? Rich Paul has thrown the biggest wrench into the system that anybody has yet to throw, right? And the fact that like people are. Look, one of the things in PR that you're not supposed to do is talk specifically about the thing that people are identifying you as you know, if you do something and if the criticism of it is because of a specific entity, the impact that has on a specific entity, the thing you cannot then go out and do in a public statement at all, even if it's just a leak, is say in any way, shape, or form that it has anything to do with that entity. You're not supposed to mention that person's name at all. Don't do that, right? Because it's the I'm not angry, I'm laughing kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Oh,
the Lakers just hired a
trainer. Yeah, I was going to save that for the second block or whatever, all but right. Yeah.
That isn't great from a PR standpoint with that NBA person, but that's not what I find interesting. The stuff that I find interesting here is you just said it. Like the NCAA sees people get paid under the table all the time. They have all these weird situations where, you know, there was one report. I forget which player it was. I want to say it was Zion or maybe it was. I know the player eventually made their way to Duke. And there was an alleged payment of or offer of like $500,000 or some amount of money, and you know everybody was kind of mocking it because that player went to Duke, and you're thinking, oh yeah, that player went to Duke out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah, no, I remember this. I think that might have been Zion, but I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, and I don't want to say definitively it was Zion because you know libel, but.
I don't think it's libel because we're not saying he took it. We're just saying that I think there were reports of an offer to someone who ended up going to Duke.
Right.
You know, obviously completely cleanly went to Duke.
Yeah, right.
Didn't take any money to go there.
And that's why so many people jumped. So there's a lot of people who jumped to the Rich Paul dynamic here because of the racial element, the different background that he's taken to get to where he is right now, right? Where he is a legitimate power broker in the NBA. There's no arguing that. And there is also no arguing that he would not be here if he was not close friends with LeBron James, right? There's no arguing that either. And yet, because of that second statement, people have found ways to offer up thinly veiled criticisms where you know what the actual point behind the criticism is while they're making criticisms of Rich Paul, right? His rise, the way he operates, it makes people uncomfortable because, you know, there was a status quo and he threw that for an upheaval. And now the NCAA, being as tactless as they always are doing this thing here to deal with, I'm going to go out and say it, Rich Paul, because he circumvented that thing. And yeah, that LeBron is right to be upset. Rich Paul should.
It almost it almost feels like an attempt at retribution, just because, like, we've seen the NCAA handle stuff sort of like the NBA handles tampering, where it's like, as long as you don't do it in our face,
yeah,
we don't really care. Mm-hmm. But, like, by, you know, getting a top college player to see another avenue as the best spot for them rather than going to, you know, rather than going to college, like, that is very publicly, like, whether, you know, Paul intends it this way or not, that the NCAA, I'm sure, sees this as spitting in their face.
Yeah.
You know, by getting someone to take a New Balance internship and not play basketball and make $1 million to just not go to college and have that very publicly out there so that, like, mm-hmm. i.e. other recruits can be like, well, oh, well, wait.
That got sounds like fun.
Could he get me $1 million yeah. instead of going to college or whatever and get me an internship or whatever that may be? And, like, so... And the NCAA has shown a tendency to do stuff like this in the past and yeah. try to reconsolidate their power and make it so that they can continue to profit off, be the only ones profiting off of student athletes. And so that's why, like, you know, that NBA person can say whatever they want to Jeff Goodman, but I do think that that was probably a factor in this, even if it wasn't the sole factor. I buy that, like, they don't want the runner, like, other yeah. people, like family members.
We're trying to see that in like the NBA. Too.
Yeah, like, sure, but also, like, somebody that's a family member doesn't need to be, like, credentialed by the NCAA to start, like, looking for stuff or whatever. Like, they can communicate with that player regardless. Like, there's no legislating that communication anyway. So to act like this is, like, just based at that, like, when that person, if they were careful at all, could just avoid this rule yeah. and make it, like, completely irrelevant to them.
Or, like, you could qualify for that rule, by the way. And this is this
yeah,
is,
I mean, like, family members can have bachelor's degrees. That's yeah. not like
well, and, yeah. and that's where you know my the argument can be made here that this is borderline unethical, right? Because if you look historically at, you know, what systemic procedures were put into place to keep people of color down, it always came back to college. Like, that's a historic aspect of American society. And you know, by that, when they said, like, has to have a college degree, so you're telling me some uncle of some other player out there can have scraped by an arts degree, right, at some point in, like, the 70s, and they are therefore more qualified to speak on the behalf of this player than Rich Paul would be? Like, how does that make any sense? That it's just a lame policy. It was a lame move by the NCAA. That's the only kind of move that they make here.
So there isn't. It wouldn't be that easy to, like. It's not just a bachelor's degree.
No, I know. It's like a test, and then there's a yeah.
Well, there's a test, and you have to be certified by the NBPA for at least 3 years. So, like, the only part of that Rich Paul doesn't, or you know, presumably he could pass whatever tests that they were providing. The only part of that he does not automatically qualify for is the bachelor's degree. And actually, Michael McCann of Sports Illustrated had a good write-up on this, and yeah. like, basically Rich Paul could use this as grounds for an antitrust suit,
yeah,
because, like, it's one of the most successful NBA agents in recent history. He'd been denied this opportunity. You know, like, I would think that that's not a problem that the NCAA would want, but, you know, they've never really shown themselves to avoid unnecessary fights before.
They're very combative. The simple fix to this is just pay the effing players, guys.
That's always been the simple fix to this, but then that doesn't allow, you know, the NCAA corporate overlords to get their, like, you know, quadrillion-dollar bonuses.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, all right. We're going to take another quick second here. When we come back, we are going to talk about what else has gone on and prep everybody for part two of this podcast, which, again, is going to air tomorrow at the normal time. I try to get these out at 9 o'clock every night. Shouts to, you know what? I didn't say this in the first segment, Harrison. Thanks, man. You're good.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to help, you know, like.
Anything
for Dr. Jen.
I completely underestimated what this was going to be.
Yes, you did. I should before we go to break, can I just say, like, yeah. Anthony, at one point I was telling him, I'm like, okay, so I want you to, like, take the first 2 weeks off, like, as soon as, like, Jen goes into labor. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we will talk about, like, how much more time you need. Like, but let's get a sense for, like, what your schedule is going to be like and all that stuff. And you're like, I honestly think I could just work, like, the first day back. Like, Anthony, let's re-ask the question. Do you feel like you could work today?
Oh no, I'm literally working right now. But I could not have worked on. I could not have worked on Sunday or Monday.
Yeah,
that's for damn sure.
You could have been typing an article about the Lakers while giving Jen advice on based on their offseason.
It was literally a my column take.
How a C-section is sort of like the Lakers missing out on Kawhi Leonard. My column.
All right, let's take a quick second. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up. I'm home, and the guy next door to me is playing his dubstep. Look at that.
You could finally feel like you're home. You know, the yesterday show was interrupted a couple times by planes because I was recording at my parents' house. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and I forgot to mute my mic for, like, the first segment a couple times. So, you know, like, Locked On Lakers listeners are very committed, and we appreciate you guys for being willing to endure a little bit of background noise.
How's the dubstep audience doing nowadays? Like, is that still a thing?
I don't know. Is that the same thing as, like, raves?
I think raves are still a thing. I know Andy Liu, the Warriors fan who ruined their dynasty, is a big rave guy.
Yeah, well, no, I know Shaq was performing at one this weekend, but
I think that's a heavy European thing. But okay. Like dubstep, I don't know, man.
This has been two out of touch bloggers discuss modern music.
Is it modern though?
Okay, well, dubstep probably isn't, but like,
yeah,
you know, raves and stuff.
Because I remember, like, it was a huge thing. Like, it just burst onto the scene, and everybody I knew was listening to some kind of dubstep. And I just thought, like,
yeah, my high school girlfriend was really into that.
It sounded to me like the AOL dial-up tone. You remember that old? It just sounded. Yeah, it was just not great. It was not good.
That's
what I'm hearing next door right now. It's awesome.
All right. Well, tremendous. I can't hear it, so I'm hoping the listeners can't either.
My poor
daughter. This is like your ghost cat.
My daughter's room is like right next door to where I'm recording, so she's gonna be born into welcome to this life in the Irwin household with.
This is gonna be a really nice like social experiment because you know some people like they put Mozart on their bit like they give their babies like, Mozart or whatever.
I've had her listening to classical music. I swear to God.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now she's going to listen to dubstep, and so...
I'm going to make a classical dubstep remix. Moonlight Sonata 2.0. All right, so what else have I missed? What have I missed these last 5 days?
You really have not missed a lot. Okay. You did miss... The biggest thing was probably Kyle Kuzma doing about, like, you know, 35 to 40 interviews at a Call of Duty event.
I cannot turn on Twitter and not see Kyle Kuzma headlines. Like it's not possible.
Unfortunately, that is mostly what is available to us right now. I mean, we could talk about the Nina Hsieh. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing Hsieh.
I
don't want to butcher her last name.
You're not sure what you're supposed to say?
Oh my god.
No, I think it's just Hsieh. H is silent, I believe.
That makes sense to me, but like, you know, it wouldn't be an episode of our podcast if I didn't mispronounce a name.
Don't quote me on that, though. I don't know for sure. But congratulations to Nina for the hiring.
Yeah, CSUF alum. So it sounds like she's going to be working under, we could just start with this. She's going to be working under Judy Cito and, you know, just taking over the head athletic trainer role. So, like, I heard good things about her when she was with South Bay and I was, you know, covering their team.
It's an in-house promotion.
Yeah, it is an in-house hire. Yeah. Okay. So, but I did hear good things about her from players there when I was covering them a lot more closely. So, you know, like, again, it's hard for us to sit here and act like we know who's going to be a good athletic trainer hire.
Nobody knows.
But that did happen. And I don't think that it's necessarily a bad move out of hand. Like, you know, the players spoke highly of her. So something.
If we can't say we don't know it's going to be a good move, we can't also then say we know it's going to be a bad move. There's no criticism. The only criticism I think is fair is still their reluctance to go outside of the family. Like that.
Yeah, but if you have somebody good in the house, then like right, the counter argument is.
That's an inherent risk, though.
Yeah.
Right? The inherent risk here is that you have limited your hiring pool to a point where you are unnecessarily gambling on this person when you could just as easily just talk to people outside the organization.
You could have not been on that show, and I could have guessed that that was going to be your response.
That's always going to be my response.
I know.
It's the fairest response I have.
All right.
I'm not freaking out, but, you know, you guys.
It's because you have bigger concerns now.
They're the Los Angeles Lannisters. All right, so what's the...
Oh, my God. All right, let's... So, you know, Kuz came out and he said that not everybody is cut out to be a Laker, which I thought is a quote that you would appreciate, you know, just because of the way you feel about Kuz. And I just wanted to kind of see your reaction to it.
You know, he's 30% right.
There really was not like a whole lot else. Frank Vogel talked a little bit about how he plans to delegate responsibilities on his coaching staff. He doesn't plan to have a specific offensive or defensive coordinator, which I think we had kind of heard hints at, but it's notable to hear, like, you know, him say it on the record. And it sounds like after games, he'll have somebody make like offensive and defensive film edits, but that there's nobody that's really just going to be an offensive or defensive coordinator, it doesn't sound like, which to me actually makes sense, because of all the guys, like the three bench coaches that we know of are like for sure bench coaches right now, which is Jason Kidd, Lionel Hollins, and Phil Handy. None of them are known as like an offensive tactician.
Yeah.
So if you put one of those guys and you're just like, okay, you're the offensive coordinator now, then that's no different than Jesse Mermes. That's arguably worse, because at least he had some renown for that in the G League. Like, mm-hmm. he'd had some, you know, like, and these guys are, you know, Jason Kidd was obviously a great offensive player when he was a player, but that's not the same skill set as like drawing up an offense, as we saw in every stop he was at as a head coach.
Yeah.
And so I think this kind of makes sense. Like, rather than, you know, us like arbitrarily pick a coordinator, like try and see what you can all come up with together. And like not just give somebody who isn't necessarily the most qualified for that role like a complete power over the offense.
Yeah, it's the second best option that you could have, right? The third word, the worst option you have is what you're talking about.
Yeah,
where
I mean the best option is just hiring an offensive tactician.
Exactly,
but you know they didn't do that, and so you know they made like they made the best of the options that they limited themselves to.
Yeah, you're making the best meal with flawed ingredients, right? Somebody handed you garlic and I don't even know. Not garlic. Somebody hired you like a bunch of seaweed and some carrots and said, "Make me a four-course meal." And yeah, good luck.
Yeah. And then, you know, like the only other stuff that's been happening is Kuz has been at Team USA. So, like, he called Pop his favorite coach of all time, which, like, in the context of the quote, made it sound like, you know, if you listen to the full quote, like, he was saying, like, from watching the game growing up, he was just, like, his favorite coach to watch, basically, which is almost, like, weirder to say.
Yeah.
But I kind of get it because, like, Pop is funny with, like, in the exchanges with the media sometimes. He seems like a good dude, like, politically and, like, socially and whatever.
To make the team.
Yeah, well, that too. But it was just funny to hear him, like, he's only had one NBA coach in his entire, you know, time as a pro, and he's been through one day of Team USA camp, and he's like, yeah, Pop's my favorite coach of all time.
I mean, really, how long would it take to figure out Pop is better at this than Luke Walton?
Yeah, you know, that's good. That's a solid counterpoint.
Like, Pop walks in, sees Rajon Rondo, and says, get out. Already Hall of Famer. Much better than Luke Walton. Way better.
Pop walks in and like he's giving the players like specific things to focus on rather than telling them to try hard and have fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, looks like I picked a good time of year to have a baby.
Yeah, you picked the perfect time. Pete and I were saying this on the other show, but like this is a very planned like NBA blogger pregnancy. Like you did great, and you had the baby at the exact like one time of year when things are not crazy.
I'll take it. And then, you know, we'll see how things go from here on out. But again,
so tell Jen you used good process and you got like it was sort of like the Kawhi Leonard thing, and that you used the best process you could, and it could have went wrong if you had done this and like there was like a trade demand or the Anthony Davis stuff that extended into August, but because you used the best process, this was an example of it working out. Unlike, you know, when she tried to have the natural birth and you were right should have done the C-section from the beginning. Just tell her that. And then we'll like wait and see if you're still alive to do the show on Monday.
You just really want my job. you're going to get my job however you can get it.
I'm not going to say that Pete and I were openly planning a coup on the last three episodes, but I'm not going to say that we weren't doing that.
He Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I was sitting there. This is the way my brain works. I saw those interactions going on Twitter, and I haven't listened to the show yet, but I'm thinking, you know, Pete would stand to get a raise. You would obviously get a raise because you're not making anything off of this show right now.
No, yeah, no, we definitely couldn't do that.
So, man, I got to watch my back.
It's no, yeah, sore. There's like, you gave me the logins. Like, I could just change your password and this would be over.
I'm changing it right now. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in while Harrison and Pete tried to take my job from me. Thank you, everybody. Shouts to Kaiser. Thank you, guys, everybody over there at Kaiser, for doing your jobs really well.
Someone who goes to normal hospitals and was first exposed to a Kaiser because my fiance has it through her parents still. Oh, my God. It is so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. The rooms that the room that we had, well, that we were supposed to have Avery in, was legit like a master suite. It was ridiculous.
They're just like, they're so efficient. It's like well run. I'm like, I go to other hospitals now for myself. Yeah. And I'm just like, how have you guys not stolen this model?
It's right, you know, there. It's right,
like,
there.
It works. Just, yeah. Anyway,
I actually bumped into my old pediatrician, which was kind of funny, like 20 years after the fact, because I was a Kaiser baby too. So that was kind of, so that was kind of funny. And then, but yeah, we're going to hit stop on this one. I'm going to release this tonight, obviously, and then make sure you guys tune in tomorrow as Harrison and I try to catch up. We probably aren't going to be able to still, but we're going to try to catch up on the mailbag. Shouts to everybody for leaving all those questions as well. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I love Avery.